You're listening to a Mornings with Kelly and Steve podcast. Be sure to check us out every weekday morning from 6 to 9 on Moody Radio.
Nancy has got the ministry Anchors Away. Before we even talk, Nancy, I want to point people to your website, anchorsaway.org, for some great resources and to learn more about biblical worldview, because I cannot think of a time in modern history when this is more important as we look at the news headlines and everything that is going on, and our faith is being challenged more and more every day. And if you are not equipped to stand firm in your faith is going to be rocked. By the news headlines alone, your faith is going to be rocked. You have got to be rock solid, and that is exactly what you do in your ministry, is you teach young people how to stand firm in their faith, to understand exactly what it is that they profess to believe, so that when they are challenged, they do know how to defend their faith.
Yeah. Well, good morning, and thank you for the reference of what we do at Anchors. And I think, honestly, in times like this, we need to understand that God is in control. And it seems like he's not. And you know, when we glue ourselves to the television news, different news channels, you know, it's like it's total chaos. It is. And it's horrific what's going on over there. But again, God is got this. He's under control. He is the anchor for all of this, and we will just wait and see what happens with this. But it just seems to be out of control. But God has got this, and that is so important to remember in these days.
Well, Nancy, let's jump in with our biblical worldview question of the week right now, because we're watching the news. We're seeing so much happening in Israel. And why did God choose the Jews to be his people?
Yes. And again, I think this is a perfect question to ask during these times. And let's remember that in the Middle East is a nation of Israel. That's where it sits. Right in the middle. And it's the size of New Jersey. If you've ever been there, it's like, oh my gosh, everything is so close together because it's so small. But it has, throughout history of the world, played a critical role politically and religiously. We're seeing that right now. What sets it apart from other Eastern countries is that it's referenced throughout the scriptures as the land given to the Jews and God's chosen people. So this is the crux of it right here. This land is God's. And it wasn't until 1947 that the United Nations General Assembly passed a resolution allowing the formation of the Jewish state of Israel. So it's only since that time that that region has been a nation, referred to as a nation of the Jews, where the Jews have returned there as their home. But it's also been a hotbed of corruption and terrorism and wars. And we see in Samuel 7, 23, 24 here very clearly. And what one nation on earth is like, your people Israel, whom God went to redeem for himself as a people and to make a name for himself and to do a great thing for you, capital Y, and awesome things for your land before your people whom you have redeemed yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. For you have established for yourself, your people Israel, as your own people forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. Very clearly here saying, Jesus, God is saying, that region there, it's mine. And we see this again in Isaiah 43:1. But now, says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. For I have redeemed you, I have called you my name, you are mine. So essentially, Kelly, we see God saying, look, you are mine. I called you by name. You are mine. And when God puts his hand on a nation, we best pay attention.
Nancy, that's a great reminder of really, in essence, that sum that up is, you know, God has done this for his glory. There's also, I think about, there's also a mysterious part of God's choosing who he chose as far as, yeah. You know, he states a lot of times that I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. So there is a small component of his will that we don't totally understand. But let me just get to the next question. Can you refresh our memories about the biblical beginning of the nation of Israel?
Yes, and nice to hear your voice, Scott, this morning. Yes, and I Clarence Haynes, who's a Bible teacher and a writer, he just nailed it when he said this. So often when you think of Israel, you think in terms of a nation of people, which is what they are now, but that is not what they always were. When you read the book of Genesis, one thing you'll notice is that there's no nation of Israel, and that's because it didn't exist. For a moment, consider not a nation, but a man. The beginning of God's promise to the nation did not start when they became a nation. It started from one man, Abraham.
What stood out about Abraham, or Abram as he originally was known, Nancy, that right. God would choose him as the father of a nation, though?
Yeah, and then again, this goes back, Kelly, over and over and over again as we're doing these questions through the years. This whole thing of God, why does he do things? What does he notice in mankind? And God chose Abram because he knew his heart. Abram was obedient to God, and he honored God. He was honored when God called him to do the tough things. And in this case, he called him to leave his country, Haran, his people, and his father's household. And he called them to leave them and to go to a place where God would lead him. He had no roadmap and very little understanding of what would lie ahead. But Abram didn't barter with God. He didn't discuss the pros and cons of leaving everything but his possessions behind with God. He didn't. He simply obeyed. And eventually, Abram and his wife Sarah settled in Canaan, and God met them one evening outside of a tent. And I know this is such a familiar story, this picture of Abram meeting God outside and God pointing to the stars. And he promised him land and a future descendants greater than all that was in the sky that evening. And he also said that Sarah would give birth to a baby from whose descendants would come the promised Savior, God's son, Jesus. And boy, this is the heart of this question. We see in Galatians 3, 6 through 18, the promises were spoken to Abram and his seed. Scripture does not say, and to his seeds, plural, meaning many people, but to your seed, meaning one person, Christ. And this is what I mean, and this is Paul writing in Galatians. The law introduced 430 years later does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God, in his grace, gave it to Abram through a promise. It was the promise.
Nancy, as I think about the promises, and we read them all through Scripture, and we just trust God is going to continue to fulfill those promises. But a lot of times, you know, I think about those, and I'm like, I want to see those promises come true, you know, in my relationships and my family. But Abraham was a little different. He did not see God's promise fulfilled, but God was faithful to fulfill it nonetheless. And even though it took a long time, by how man measures time, God was still right on time. And so could you talk about how God proved his faithfulness?
Yes, and he continues to prove it through all of his promise, but this was an amazing one, promising Abram, in which he changed his name to Abraham. It's just a beautiful story of God's grace to Abraham, that he was clearly chosen by God, loved by God. But again and again, God proved his faithfulness to all mankind through Abraham, when 2,000 years later, God, the Son, was born. And just as God had promised. So here we see a Redeemer promised by God way back when, 2,000 years earlier, actually, and fulfilled when Christ was born, sinless Jesus. A Jew was the only one who could pay the penalty for the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. By the way, let me insert here that the Jews were not sinless. Let's make that very clear. And we read all through the Old Testament how fickle they were. They'd go to God and then they'd be disobedient, just like all nations, just like all people. So Jesus is not claiming for his chosen people that they're perfect. He's saying they're sinless. And just like everybody else, they're sinners too. But it's through the Jews that his son came, as promised, as his seed. And it was an amazing gift. Jesus came to earth as a man and lived in Israel. He was born with a mission to fulfill God's promise to Abram as the seed, the Savior who would save the world. And we know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He lived for 33 years. Speaking and teaching about God and his forgiveness of sins and the promise of heaven for all who believe. But then we see the crux of it. When Jesus claimed to be God, because he was arrested by the Jews for blasphemy and sentenced to death. And his death fulfilled God's promise to Abraham and his descendants, that God would send his son to die for all the sins of humanity, whether Jew or Gentile. And we see this clearly in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. It's just so beautiful here. And the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What is this blessing? It's the birth of Christ, the Savior for the world. And God preserved that bloodline from Abraham for 2,000 years, through all the wars, everything. So that he preserved it so that mankind could have a savior. And that's the beautiful part of this question.
So then the nation of Israel and the Jewish people too, Nancy, should serve as an important reminder to all people, especially all people of faith. Talk about that.
Yes. And, you know, when you think of the nation of Israel, even the land where Israel sets, let it be a reminder that God, when God says something, he will do it, period. And the Israelites are God's chosen people because they represent God's faithfulness to Abraham by his word. And this is so critically important to get this. We see this in Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 9, where it says here, the Lord did not set his affections on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other people. For you were the fewest of people. It was because the Lord loved you and kept his oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from a land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is faithful, keeping his covenant love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. That Deuteronomy 7:7-9. So God's hope for Israel was that they would be a people who would obey him, keep his covenants, be God's representatives on earth, that they would be a model of his way of living to the nations around them. And it's so interesting where God settled this nation right in the middle of other pagan nations was this nation of God who had worshiped a God who truly was the one true God. But the idea here is that through them, they would be the witnesses, the Jews would be, of their trust in God. And we see this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions. Why? And it says here, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Again, this whole idea of saying God is faithful. He will bring about what he promises. And he promised this to the Jews and then delivered. But again, the bigger picture must be thought of here and remembered. It was the bloodline of Jesus. It's through the Jews that he sent Jesus, this Redeemer for all people.
Yeah, Nancy, when we think about this whole idea, this overarching theme, I guess, is what I'm hearing this morning with Israel. But as God's chosen people, so he's chosen certain people. When I think about that myself, I have to just kind of brush that aside and just say thank you for choosing me. And so, but we think about the big picture, and just kind of a summary, why did God choose Israel to be his chosen people? What do you think?
Yeah. And I think, again, it's not because God has favorites. I mean,
right.
He chose them for a very specific reason, to preserve the bloodline of our Savior, who lived and died for the sins of humanity, you know, after the covenant he made with Abraham. And this is what's so important, Scott, is to understand that this act of grace and love that came through the Jews to all people. It's not just the Jews who are saved. As a matter of fact, you know, this idea of the Jews being saved, there are many that are still waiting for a Savior. And many that didn't get it, they didn't understand that Jesus was this promised seed. And so when we talk about the Jews, we are not saying that all Jews are saved, quite the contrary. Oh, but it's through the Jews, it's through Jesus that comes to the Gentiles as well, all Gentiles, all those who were born not Jews, to be grafted in. In other words, he said, look, it's through the Jewish bloodline, but it's to all people. And when you believe, essentially you're grafted in, that you don't become Jewish, but you are receiving the promise that came through the Jews. When we put our trust in Christ, and we see this in John 3, that whoever, there it is, believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Again, God's faithful. He came through the Jews to the world so that we might be saved through the death of his son, Jesus Christ, who was Jewish, by the way, born a Jew, raised a Jew, to again, with 300 promises in the Old Testament prophecies, were all fulfilled through the person of Jesus Christ. Because God wanted to make very clear that when he promised his seed way back in Genesis, he would deliver, and he did through Jesus Christ, originally through Abram. A beautiful story, again, of God using men and women to be witnesses of the love and the saving grace of Jesus by the way we live, and this is the worldview piece. You know, he didn't choose us to bury ourselves in a hole or in our homes. He chose us to be lights to our family and to our neighbors and hopefully to the world. And it's just a beautiful story when we break it down to see that God cared enough for you and me to send a Savior that we might have a relationship with God that would live eternally with him. So it's an awesome, awesome, beautiful thing. But again, I think the warning shots go off when scripture is very clear, when God says, I love you, and those who curse you, I will curse them. So there will be judgment. There will be judgment eventually for those that come against God's people. And it's just the way God wrote it, and he is faithful to do what he promises to do. Therefore, we can not relax. We can see the horror. We can see the evil that is going on in the nation right now, and we can be grateful that God died for that. And those who come to Christ can be redeemed, just like the nation. And it's just a beautiful story of God's redemption and a picture of how evil and disgusting sin is, as we're seeing today, full blown.
I think that is why it is so extremely distressing what we're seeing played out on the evening news right now, because that is, to me, you talk about the beauty of the story of God, what he has written, what has been done through Christ for us, available to anyone who would believe. But then we're seeing what's being played out before us on the nightly news, and I look at that and I see that is just purely the work of the enemy. That is utter and complete evil at work in the world, and it is painful to my heart that people are not seeing it for what it is. There are those who do not believe, and they don't see it for what it is, and it is just absolutely making my heart ache to no end. Nancy, thank you for this today. I am so glad that you put this particular question together and shared this with us today. This was so important. And man, for those of you that want to hear this again, we're going to be sending the audio two different directions. First and foremost, over to Nancy for her to post on her website, anchorsaway.org. You'll be able to hear it there again. Give us, bear with us. We'll get it shipped over there today for her, and you'll be able to hear it also at kellyandsteve.org. Just click on the resources tab. But by all means, get yourself over to Anchors Away, that's AWAY, anchorsaway.org, and take advantage of everything that Nancy has to offer there. Get your young people involved in her curriculum to learn about biblical worldview so that they can be well grounded in their faith, because, and we say this all the time, Nancy, and I have learned this from you over the years, that we cannot leave our kids spiritual instruction to the world, even to our youth pastors. That's our job in the home, because even when they go away, even at a Christian college, their faith is going to be challenged, and they've got to be ready for that. So we want them well equipped, and that is what Nancy does for those of you listening through Anchors Away. Solid place to go. Nancy, we appreciate you so much, and we'll look forward to next week.
Well, thank you so much for what you're doing, and it's a time for the Christians to come together and realize God loves, and even those that pure evil stuff we're seeing, God has the door open for all those people as well. So keep praying for that, and thank you again for what you all are doing. It's exciting days here.
That's an understatement. Exciting, definitely exciting, and I guess that's a good enough word. I can't think of a better one.
You're listening to Mornings with Kelly and Steve on Moody Radio, from the Word to Life.